The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you here today. If you are here for the first time, special welcome to you. And if you're in the youth center, we welcome you as well. I know in the youth center in here, Wilma explained the black boxes where the numbers come up. They did a better job than a few years ago. We had a pastor named Kelly Sixtrom who was up here. Kelly was speaking, and he said, if a number comes up there, he said, look under your seat. And if that's your number, you win, he said. He never did say what they won, but it has nothing to do with that and everything to do with what Wilma said and what they told you in the youth center. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. This is a weekend that we officially set aside in our country to give thanks. I think the first Thanksgiving was 1879, and it was November 6, 1879, and the government set aside that day to give thanks for an abundant harvest. 1953, they pulled it back to the second Monday in October, which is when we celebrate Thanksgiving today. But there are many, many reasons to give thanks. And it's good to have a weekend like this to stop us and remind us that we need to give thanks. We need to give thanks for family, for friends, for food and water. You know, if you've traveled to other parts of the world, you know that a lot of parts in the world, they don't have adequate food, water, or shelter. These are things that we just take for granted. We have a very beautiful place to live here in Red Deer, Central Alberta. We want to thank God for that. This is one of the most beautiful places on the planet right here. And we get to enjoy it day after day. That was brought home to me last weekend. I had signed up for a run down through the trails in Red Deer here. And what was behind that was somebody came up to me not so long ago and said, where do you get your bell-bottom shirts from? That's what he said. What? It took a minute, and I realized what he was saying. So I thought, well, I better do something about that. So I signed up for a run, and I you laugh, but you stand up. Let's have a look. I mean, no. So I signed up for this run, and we're running through the beautiful trails in Red Deer, the amazing trees and the river, and I thought, God, I'm just so grateful that I get to live here. Oh, just by the way, I was third in my category. Third. Thank you. That, folks, is actually podium. Did you know that? I went and wrecked the whole thing by looking at how many were in my category, though. Sadly, there were only three. But nevertheless, I was grateful that I was able to do that. And I there's so many good reasons to give thanks today. What I'd like to do for a few minutes this morning is take you to a place in the Bible. Dave already read from it, Psalm 107. And it's a place where we are reminded who it is that we ought to give thanks to. And I want to read you a few verses from Psalm 107. And just to help you understand where we're coming from in this book of the Bible called Psalms. If you flipped open a Bible to the middle, if it wasn't on your telephone, it would be a paper Bible, it'd flip open to follow open to probably Psalms, middle of your Bible. It's a book in the Bible where God gives us language to speak to him. He puts words in our mouth so we'll know how to talk to him, pray to him. You could summarize Psalms with four words. One is the word help. When you want to say help, this book has psalms, prayers, that will help you say help. Another word would be sorry. When you want to say sorry to God, there's lots of material here that will help you say sorry. When you're just in awe of God's creation or who he is and you just want to say wow, there's psalms here that will help you say wow. And then this one and others like it will help you say thank you. So you could categorize all of these psalms with help, sorry, wow, thank you. They give us words so we'll know how to talk to God. That's very important when you have little kids. You know how important that is. You don't sit back with a little child and say, well, talk to me. You give them words so they know how to talk to you. God does exactly the same thing. He gives us words so that we can address him appropriately. So let me read you just three verses to start with in Psalm 107. It goes like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We're told right there who it is that we're to give thanks to. We call it Thanksgiving weekend, and we're supposed to be grateful and give thanks. But to who? Well, first and foremost, to God. You would think that would be normal. You would think that that would be natural to thank God, but it's not. In our world, success is often measured by our self-sufficiency, how self-sufficient we become. We earn our money. We're taught at times to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps when we're down. We're taught that our security results from careful planning, investment, and management. And in a world like that, we're taught that we are self-made people. So consequently, nobody needs to cry out to God. And nobody needs to give God thanks if we're self-made people. But this book, Psalms, and this one in particular, it pulls me back, and I recognize again as I read God's word that life itself is a gift. It's a gift. Life and all that goes with it is a gift from God. Even the ability, it says somewhere in the Bible, to make money, to earn a living, is a gift from God. There's a question put somewhere in the Bible, and it goes like this. What do you have that you haven't received? So when you put that lens on, you recognize that Thanksgiving, giving thanks, ought to be more than a weekend, but it becomes a way of life when you realize that life is a gift. Well, why give thanks to God? There's two reasons here. One is that he's good. Two is that his love endures forever. He's good and his love endures forever. You would not believe how many times in the Bible we're told God is good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Why are we told that so many times? Because sometimes he doesn't look good. Sometimes what happens in the world and what rolls out doesn't look like there's a good creator. But we're to start from this place where God is good. And then it says his love endures forever. That word love there, it's a very, very important word in the Old Testament. It's rich, it's deep, it's packed with meaning. Can I tell you what it means? The word love there, it's a relationship word actually, and it means a loyal, committed love that doesn't abandon the people it's in relationship with. So when he says, give thanks to God because his love endures forever, he's thinking of a God who does not abandon his people no matter what. No matter how good or bad you are, as his, he doesn't abandon his people. And so packed into that word is the idea of security. Security. It's a secure love. In the Bible, real security is found not in, we're taught that it's not in money or wealth. It's not in our alarm systems. It's not in our pit bulls. It's not in how many weapons we have. But security is actually found in a person, in God, in Jesus Christ. So this word love is a deep word. It means loyal, committed love, secure love. The other thing it means it's a kind of love that reaches out actively to helpless people to rescue them and to save them. It's the kind of love that reaches out to people in need to rescue them and save them. So he says, we ought to give thanks to God because he's good and because the kind of love that he has, which is faithful, loyal, secure, reaching out love, that endures forever, right up till today. It means God doesn't change. He's the same today as he was yesterday, and actually will be forever. Now, what they do with that here in this psalm is what I'd like to do with it with you. They actually give us four examples of that kind of love, four examples of the kind of love that reaches out to rescue and save. So that we'll get, especially on a Thanksgiving Sunday, that the love of God that we're singing about is a greater love than you could ever imagine or ever think of. Here's the examples. First example, he talks about some people in verse 4 who wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry, thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The picture here is people who are beat down, exhausted, worn out, beat up by life. They're lonely, and they just, the purpose and the meaning has gone out of their lives. They have these deep hungers and thirsts in themselves. They can't satisfy. And they don't know where to look for answers because life just rolls out day after day, and it's the same old, same old. Sometimes on a Saturday or Sunday in particular, I go to a restaurant very early in the morning, and I got to know one of the waitresses there. She's become a friend, and she fits this. She's a single mom, and she has a lot of kids to provide for. And she doesn't make much money, and she's usually exhausted, and each day just rolls into the next day, and nothing ever changes. There's a lot of people in our world like that. Well, it says here that God's great love is a love that reaches those people, and he actually helps them. He establishes them, and he satisfies their hunger and thirst. It's a way of saying he puts meaning into the lives of people where the meaning has completely gone. God does that. That's how amazing his love is. Now, the second example is of people, in verse 10, some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom. They were like prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they'd rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. They should give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. This is a different group of people. They willingly rebelled against God. They broke all his laws, his commands. They just did their own thing, and they didn't care about God, but somehow what happened was they began to live with a darkened conscience, and their soul was weighed down by shame or by guilt, and it was just like being in prison. And they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't break out of the prison they were in. But God, in his great love, saw them. In spite of what they did, and his love reached them, it says, and he brought them out, and he cut through the bars of iron, broke down the gates of bronze, and he set them free. That's amazing love that reaches out to people who need rescuing, saving. Third example, some people became fools through their rebellious ways. They suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word, and he healed them, rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. They should sacrifice thank offerings, tell of his works with songs of joy. This is another whole group of people. Just like a lot of people today, they became fools and wrecked their life and ruined their life through the choices they made that were destructive, and they became addicts, and they became people that couldn't recover from the ruin they brought on their life because they were just foolish. And as a result of that, some of them got very, very sick and got close to the gates of death, it says here. But God, he pulled them out. He healed them. I have a friend. He's in heaven today. But his name's David. David grew up in New Zealand. And in New Zealand, he entered the state lottery, and he won, well, the national lottery. He won the national lottery in New Zealand at 19 years of age. And he went crazy. He imported a Mustang from North America. He partied with all of his friends. And then he decided to come and live in North America, and he came to Vancouver, where we were. And when I met him, he had no money left. Like, he'd won, I don't know how many millions, and he had nothing left. And he was hopelessly addicted to cocaine. That's the type of person we're talking about here. Just through foolish choices, they enslave themselves and they get all messed up. There was times when he thought he was free. It was like an elastic band. He'd walk free of this stuff. Then it would reel him back in. And there was a day when he was in Lionsgate, or Vancouver General Hospital, actually, and trying to recover from an overdose. And he just decided he had enough. And he opened the window and he jumped out and took his life. That was my friend David. These are the type of people that are talked about here. Now, if they would let them, God would do an amazing work of rescue, it says, in their lives. But there's one more example of God's great love. Other people, verse 23, went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke, stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths, and in their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. They should exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. These are people who are going through life just normal. And then they get hit by a storm. And it's like a storm at sea. And they had no idea how it came or where it came from. But it turned everything on its head. Life gets turned upside down. They're at their wits' end. They don't know how they're going to make a living. They don't know how they're going to go on with the loss of this person. Whatever storm it is, they're completely at their wits' end and in great distress. And yet God's great love is a love that reaches people like that and has the ability, it says here, to calm the storm to a whisper. Isn't that amazing? To a whisper, to just bring it all back to the place where they can go on. I talked to somebody in the first service, and they had lost their spouse. Great storm. Turned their whole world upside down. We did the service here about 3 years ago, and but he said to me today, he said, you know what? I had no idea the kind of God that I serve. He said, today I have complete peace. I miss her, but I have complete peace. That's an example of what happens here. So what about these examples? Well, there are four different examples of God's great love, but there's one common denominator in each one. Did you see it? Did you pick it up? In each case, they call to the Lord. They cry to the Lord, in fact. And he saves them. The people who wandered in a desert, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. The people who were rebellious, they cried to the Lord, and he saved them. The people who were foolish, they cried to the Lord, and they were saved too. And then the people in the storm, they give thanks to the Lord, because when they cried to the Lord in their trouble, he brought them out of their distress. And he stilled the storm to a whisper. So in every case, what's happening here is they cry out to God. They call to God and they say, help. And in every case, God immediately moves to rescue, to save them. Which basically, I think, means this. That God is a God that hears prayer. He hears you. He's not so far away that he can't hear your heart cry. And it seems to me when I read this that I'm being taught by whoever wrote this that prayer makes a difference. It causes God to take action that otherwise he would never have taken. Causes God to take action. Some of these people were guilty. Some were innocent. Some were in big trouble. Some less trouble. But all of them called out to God and he saved them and he rescued them. You can pray to God from anywhere. From anywhere. Anywhere. I shared this a number of years ago, if you were here, but we were in Israel on one occasion. And walking through the area where the Western Wall is, or sometimes called the Wailing Wall, where they put prayers up or they put prayers in. And it wasn't with a Christian group. I hang out with Christians all the time. So I wanted a bunch of real, just people that didn't know God from whatever, or a Bible from a phone book. And we were having a great time. And as we're walking by that wall, a gal from New York named Lise, she says, "Dan, what do you believe? What does Christianity teach?" Now, just before that, the tour guide had explained Judaism to us. He said, Judaism is, I'll summarize it in one word. He said, it's the word do. You do. He said, we have 600 and I can't remember what it is, 600 and some odd rules, laws from the Old Testament. We do them. And so Lee said to me, that's Judaism. You're a Christian. What do you guys believe? And I said, well, I'll summarize it in a word too. I said, if it's if yours is the word do, ours is the word done. Amen. It's done. It's done. It's a really important point because a lot of people think that to be a Christian means I have to know some things and I have to do some things. But being a Christian is actually letting God do some things for you. It's letting him do it for you. It's letting him save you, rescue you. It's letting him love you. It's letting him bless your life. And you can talk to him and ask him to do that for you from anywhere. Lise went on and said to me, you know, the reason we put our prayers here in the wall, and I already knew this, but she said to me, is because as far as we know, on the other side of that wall, that was where the Holy of Holies was in Solomon's temple, where God was dwelling. And she said, this is the closest place on earth to God. So we put our prayers here. I said, Lise, this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. And when he died on the cross, God opened a door in heaven. And you can talk to God from any place on the planet at any time because Jesus opened a door. I said, Lise, he'll hear you here. But he'll hear you in an airplane. He'll hear you anywhere. These people in Psalm 107, they found out when they were in big trouble in the ocean, whether they were sick and near death, whether they were just fools rebelling, that whenever they prayed from their heart, God heard them and God responded to them, rescued them, and saved them. So let me summarize where we've come to so far. We ought to give thanks today. But we ought to give thanks to God. Why? Because he's good, and because of this great love that actually endures forever, never ends. And then we've looked at four examples of that love in action, the way he works with people in deep need. And as they cry out to him, he moves to them, rescues them, saves them. But I want to say one more thing, and I think it needs to be said, because if you had a Bible, I don't know if you are new here, been here a long time, but if you read to the right, you would walk into a part of the Bible called the New Testament, and you would bump right into a man called Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And you would realize, as you kept reading, that God's great love is greater than you could ever have imagined, and all of his rescuing and saving is actually done through Jesus Christ. He's God's son, says. It says in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in Jesus will never perish but have eternal life. And as you read the accounts of the life of Jesus in the New Testament, you know what you see him doing? All the stuff of Psalm 107. You see him talking to people like a woman at the well who was just exhausted by life, beat down by life, looking to quench her thirst. And Jesus said, I can give you living water. And he brought her out of her darkness into his light, and he quenched her deep thirst, put purpose, meaning back into her life. You watch him, and he's feeding hungry people. He's healing sick people. He's calming storms. He's setting people free. He's doing all the God stuff of Psalm 107, and you realize that Jesus is God in the flesh, doing what God does in Psalm 107. When you join the dots, you realize that all of God's rescuing and saving comes through this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll watch him ultimately die on a Roman cross, and we're told that he did that for us. That when he died on a Roman cross, that God put my shame, my rebellion, my foolish choices, my everything on Jesus, and he paid for my sin completely. So there's nothing left for me to do except cry out to God for mercy. And because Jesus took the hit, if I can put it that way, for me, I get forgiveness and eternal life and life to the full here and now. That's amazing stuff. Well, let me end by wrapping it up this way. If God has done something like that for you, then you and I ought to say thank you with all of our hearts and never forget what God, we're not self-made people. He has come into our life. He's put our life back on a good foundation, and he'll never, ever leave us because it's a loyal, committed, faithful love. But maybe you need to know that what God has done for others, he can do for you. This isn't a record, this book, of what God once did. It's a record of what he still does today. We call it a living book because God still does this stuff. If you got a deep hunger and thirst, can't fill it any other way, try Jesus. If you're burdened down with guilt and shame, cry out to him. If you are in some great storm and you're all alone, cry out to him. That's what this is asking us to do. He doesn't turn away from people that cry out from their heart. You know, on Monday last, there was a funeral for a 20-year-old boy. There was 900 people here and 800 people online streaming. He was from Valley Center, just down the highway. He had been killed in a car crash, and he was a cowboy. And the place was full of cowboys and cowboy hats. And I wandered in with my suit on, and I thought, where's my hat? And my pickup truck and all that stuff. I had to MC the service, which was fine. But they had a cowboy pastor speaking. He was absolutely outstanding. He was brief, he was crystal clear, and he went right to the heart. And he said something that still struck me, that when I talked to him in the foyer, he said, I'm just going to tell you up front, I'm going to steal your lines. It was so good. And he said, go ahead and steal them. This is what he said to the folk. He said, folk, it is not complicated entering into a relationship with Jesus. It's not complicated. I thought, that's so good. Not complicated. He said, all you have to do is believe that there's a God that loves you. Believe there's a God that loves you. Second, believe that that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin. Third, he said, just call on him. Just in any way you can from your heart, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive my sin. And then he said, just determine to follow Jesus Christ. I thought, that's brilliant. It's not complicated. You could be here today and all messed up and maybe desiring a relationship with God. The good news that we'd like to leave with you is it's just not complicated. Just believe that God loves you. Jesus died for you. And if you call on his name, he'll save you. Thousands, millions of people have experienced that. You could too. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. And the worship teams are going to come out. And we're going to sing a great chorus, which is our celebration of thanksgiving to God for his amazing grace and amazing love. Father, thank you today that you don't change, that any person stuck in any place in life could call on your name and you would save them and rescue them. I pray, Lord, the things that you've put in our hearts today, we wouldn't lose. The things that aren't of you, just take them away, that we could be people with grateful hearts this weekend and for the rest of our lives, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.